Today on our broadcast, the EEOC cracks down on Dollar General for discrimination. More on this story and how to build a background screening program that's EEOC compliant. From NATSB office headquarters, this is Successful Hire.
Well, hello, podcast land. I'm Dan Oblinger. I'm the director of training for the National Screening Bureau. And with me is...
I'm Todd Sutcliffe, and I'm the founder of the company.
Todd, let's get right into this. We made a promise at the end of last week's podcast.
We did.
We said that we would talk about how you could build an EEOC-compliant background screening program, and let's just do that.
Well, Dan, if we're going to talk about compliant background checks, that reminds me of the EEOC lawsuit that just happened with Dollar General. You know, Ricky, our sales manager, is really up to date on this.
Oh, the incomparable Ricky Parker.
I'm here. What do you want to know? Do you want to know about Dollar General and EEOC?
Yeah.
Well, it all starts out with, guys, if you're going to do a background check, you've got to start with a credible company. Or if you're going to do it yourself, you got to make sure that your employees that are doing background checks are up to speed on EEOC guidelines. Unfortunately, Dollar General is facing a lawsuit that was filed against them on behalf of an applicant by EEOC. Guess who's going to win? It's going to be a lot of major bucks. It'll be interesting to see how this pans out. However, EEOC is charging discrimination against Dollar General because they used a background screening process. Either they did it in-house or they did it out-of-house. That's yet to be determined. But it wasn't accurate. And an applicant did not get a job because what they found on the background check. But the applicant proved she was innocent. But yet, back to Dollar General, they decided not to hire her. So she went to EEOC, and EEOC said, hey, discrimination. Not only is discriminating against this lady, but also her civil rights have been violated. She is not given a chance to have a job, have meaningful employment, and provide for her family, even though she has a stellar reputation of working for a competitor. So it all boils down to, Todd, and what we try to tell our clients, have a reputable company, somebody who is credible, somebody who's trained, and somebody who's thorough. And if you do that, you're going to fall in all the credential checks and all the federal bureaucracy. You're going to meet their guidelines, and you're going to be compliant. That's all I got to say about that. What do you think?
So let me recap it. So this gal applied at Dollar General. They ran a background check, and they said she had something bad.
Something bad.
She went through the adverse action process and said, no, it's not me. And she was able to prove that it wasn't her.
Correct.
But Dollar General stood by their decision to not hire her for whatever reason. And then the lawsuit was issued.
That's correct.
So if the background screening company would have done a more detailed search up front and found that it wasn't her in the first place, then none of this probably would have happened.
Well, you know, the search might have been a broad span search. It might have been a state search or it might have been national. Who knows? We don't know that yet. But what they should have done is done a check and balance. They got a hit on this lady. They should have checked, is this really that lady? Well, you see, when you ever pull the trigger on an internet-based background check or if you just order a cookie-cutter background check, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get a report, no human eyes look at it, nobody checks to see if this has happened as an individual. And to tell you the truth, that happened to me.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. I was being hired as a corporate sales trainer for a company. I did a background check. Said I served 3 years as a drug offense. It was not me.
I don't think you'd be working here if you had done that.
No, wasn't me. I had to prove my innocence.
Uh-huh.
I was hired. I stayed there 15 years. But these things happen.
So your story had a happy ending.
Had a happy
Unfortunately,
ending.
Unfortunately, this story probably isn't going to have a happy ending.
Not for Dollar General.
And Todd, the difference between the Dollar General story and the Ricky Parker story is analysis. Background check company for Dollar General, whoever that was, again, whether in-house or out-of-house, they didn't conduct due diligence. They didn't do the analysis to match the data to the person. They just provided the data to the hiring manager, and they made a decision based on bad data. In Ricky's case, they missed it the first time, but that's why they have FCRA guidelines. That's why they have the adverse action process. And they caught it on the second time and then made an appropriate change in their decision. So the key there was analysis. Train professionals who look at the data and ensure that it's valid.
Hey, that's something we do at National Screening Bureau also, isn't it?
That's the whole point. All right, Todd, so that then brings us then to something I think is important for people that are new to these topics to really understand. You could hear all of these lawsuits going. You can hear all of these actual judgments against companies, especially major employers, and say, well, is it even worth it to do background checks? I mean, truly, there's so much requirement placed on the employer to be compliant. And there are so many folks that have fallen short and have paid out big bucks that the temptation might be just to throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak.
That is a temptation, but that also opens up a whole nother Pandora's box called negligent hiring and negligent retention.
And I suppose there's probably a legal standard here that we're going to have to deal with, huh?
Oh, yes. The negligent hiring has been around for years, and that's the reason background checks have really came in to play. And that's hiring someone who really shouldn't be in that position, because they get into the position and then they do something. The company is then liable for that employee's action. Then what's happened is after they've been hired, they've been working for the company, say 2-3 years, and then they do another act that maybe they committed a crime since they've been working for the company, and the company puts them in a position where they shouldn't be, and that would be negligent retention. So there's definitely a side for doing background checks. The EEOC has thrown out a few curveballs to us here lately, and so some companies are thinking, probably shouldn't do it.
I've actually heard people tell me that their interpretation of the guidance was, well, you shouldn't do background checks. And that's not what the EEOC is saying. They take great pains to describe how it should be done. So that's your answer there, is that they do think it's an important part of the hiring process. They just caution about the data, where you get it, and how you use it.
Correct. Yeah, so you can't just go in anymore and just run a flat background check, the same background check on every position. Now we actually need to look at the job that the applicant's going to be doing. We've got to build the background check around that position, around that job. So what EEOC says is it has to be job-related and consistent with business necessity.
Right. And it's for the position, not the person. Because when you start tailoring it for the person, that's when everything goes off the rails.
Right.
That's the problem.
Then we're in discrimination.
Disparate impact, disparate treatment.
So you hit it right on the head. We look at the position. An example is, let's say, a bus driver versus a substitute teacher. A bus driver is going to be driving a bus. We need a motor vehicle report on that person.
Right.
They're going to be driving. The substitute teacher won't be driving. So you cannot disqualify that person, the substitute, from her job for having a bad driving record.
Right.
It's not job related.
Got it.
Honestly, the EEOC, on the surface, you know, it looks confusing and complicated, but I really think it's a good thing. It's actually going to help more people get jobs, and the flip side is it's going to help employers have a larger pool to pull from, and we all need good people to work in the companies, and this will just give us a broader base to choose from.
Right. What it highlights then is, again, choosing the right person to do your background checks, because if you're just using a background check to check a box, or to protect yourself from liability from the EEOC, then you're horribly misusing a great tool, because it's really about right fit. It's about finding the right person for the job. And you lose that when you just do the bare minimum or you try to cut corners. When you really evaluate your positions and build the right screening procedures, then that's your investment in your company.
And that is called using your best available means. You want to look at the job. You want to look at the kind of check you're wanting to run. You want to look at who's providing that information to you. They're all little pieces of the puzzle. We're going to put them all together and come up with the best available search possible.
And that's your best protection from a negligent hiring or a negligent retention suit, is best available means.
Dan, that's a perfect way to end the podcast, because that summed it up perfectly.
Well, I try. You know, Todd, talking about the EEOC, talking about these legal standards, talking about best available means, talking about job-related and consistent with business necessity, I'm reminded of some of the mistakes that we've seen some of our clients make, or when they come to us to set up their new background checking procedure, and we look at how they've done it in the past. There's a lot of mistakes out there, well-intentioned mistakes, honest mistakes, but again, mistakes that open people up to liability. Maybe we should talk about some of those pretty common errors that people make when they're doing background checks.
That'd be a great topic for our next podcast. There are a lot of those, and that's something that we pride ourselves on, helping our clients stay compliant. We'll sit down with them, look at the EEOC guidelines, the FCRA guidelines, the ICE and Department of Homeland Security guidelines. We'll build a program that'll keep them compliant, and I think that's what our clients want and need.
All right. Well, next week it is.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Successful Hire Podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.natsb.com or send us an email at info@natsb.com.